We will now call to order the June 10, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of the April 22, 2014 meeting, approved them, and are now executing them. Do we have any announcements before we get into the hearing of the cases?
Yes, sir, Mr. McKelzer. We have a couple of cases. One is in compliance number 4 for SMG 041427, 616 North Street was in compliance as of yesterday, June 9th. And then case number 12, SMG 05143 for 347 Pierce Avenue. Staff is withdrawing that one as the property has been sold.
All right, well, all the representatives for the City of Daytona Beach.
Can I get a clarification on number 4? Is that not one where they wanted to make a finding of non-compliance?
It was back to the position of a fine, so it already has the fine.
It already has the fine?
Yes.
Okay. In other words, have a will fine effect.
So is it in compliance now or not?
It is, but there has been a finding of non-compliance, so we'll have had that will fine effect. That was what I was just clarifying.
All right. Well, those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying in this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank you. Okay, the first case on the agenda is John Nicholson.
Morning. John Nicholson.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. McKelzer, I'm sure you don't need any history. We've been through history for a while here. Now, this current status is that Mr. Nicholson is not in compliance, and this is regarding the outside. This is what we've talked about. There's still a few things, that, according to the inspector, that he has informed her that he needs to do. And there's a few things that he still needs to do. The city did want to clarify as it related to the remaining items. I don't know if this one is going to look at that. Okay. I think we had some question, or at least we were still had lingering the issues regarding the inside of the the structures. And you may recall Mr. Nicholson indicated that they would not be used at this time for residences. And realizing that and realizing that when it's time for them to be used as residents, he will have to come and obtain the necessary water and so forth. There are notifications, holes on our system that will require him to go and get the required permits and necessary things that will be required for the rental property. So we're going to withdraw our violations for the interior. And so we're just dealing with the issues as they relate specifically to the exterior. Mr. Nicholson is still in noncompliance. And quite honestly, our position today, we were coming to ask for a fine of $200 per day because we believe we've been working on this, working on the outside, made it clear to Mr. Nicholson. And I know at least as of earlier this week, the inspector had not heard from him. So I'm not sure what Mr. Nicholson's response to that is today.
Okay.
Okay, this is the exterior work for the entire property. property?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, if you're asking for a $200 a day fine, tell me how much exterior work was required to begin with and how much remains to be done.
Okay, I'll look to the inspector.
I would say if we were going to go on percentages, we are probably 90%
finished. 90% finished. Mm-hmm. And with regard to the remaining 10%, any particular reason why that's still undone?
I have no idea.
Is it materials, waiting on contractors?
No.
Okay, so there's nothing unique about it, could be done already?
No, correct.
Okay. And as I understand this, you are withdrawing the interior violations. Okay, is that right?
Yes.
All right, and does our requirement that the garage apartments not be rented, occupied, or utilized until such time as the garage apartments are in compliance, does that remain in effect?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I'm now focusing exclusively on the exterior.
Yes.
So then I don't need to clarify anything regarding remaining items, and there are no lingering issues on the inside that I need to concern myself with.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And the things that are left to be done, what are they?
There is a pile of some carpets. When I went by first thing this morning about 7:30, there were still numerous things to be done. Mr. Nicholson has informed me when he got to the hearing this morning that he only has two things left to be done, which is a pile of carpets, and there's a bunch of plastic in the ground that has to be cut out and removed because it's all mixed in with the yard.
It's the landscape
plastic.
We've
got pictures of it, yeah. So that has to be removed, and a big pile of carpets, according to Mr. Nicholson, needs to be removed. There were other things that I saw first thing this morning that he says he's since taken care of.
Okay. All right, what say Mr. Nicholson?
I'm not contacted with them. I've seen them twice in the last 2 days. She and Hector were there yesterday, and she was there this morning about 7:20.
Yeah.
So everything's been done except two. The carpet is there, and the plastic, I just ran out of time. The whole issue has been time. I spent 19 hours in the last 2 days, and I got up at 6 this morning to work. I just ran out of time. It'll take about an hour and a half to finish it.
Okay, so when are you going to have it done?
12 noon. After lunch?
Within a week?
Yes.
Okay. Because a week would be plenty of time to get it done, so if you got fined like a week after today because you didn't get it done, then you have no one to blame but yourself.
Correct.
Okay. Not trying to be patronizing, just trying to make sure we all understand what we're doing and why.
Right.
All right, I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance with regard to the exterior, to allow the respondent 7 days from today's date in which to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $200 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the exterior is in full compliance. Okay. Now, I want to be clear before we leave here. Now, as far as the rest of our current amended order of noncompliance, with regard to the interior issues, those matters are being withdrawn. Is that correct? But I also want it to be perfectly clear that the garage apartments shall not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until such time as the garage apartments are in compliance. And I assume those are interior issues.
That's correct.
Okay, so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Very good. All right. Good luck to you. Case number two, Donna Watson, Michelle Watson, and Michael Watson. Anyone here for the Watson clan? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. McKelger, this property remains in non-compliance. The inspector informs me. I think we at one point said we had heard from someone, but it remains in non-compliance. The staff is requesting $100 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay. All right.
Clarification from the inspectors that nothing has been done. We did hear from one of the family members, but nothing has been done.
Let me note the absence of a respondent. Based on our city attorney's report, I'm going to fine the respondent a sum of $100 per day commencing June 5, 2014, continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance with the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Case number three, Daniel D. Bernstein, trustee. Anyone here for the respondent?
That's the compliance.
Sure is. That's why you wrote compliance. You would think I'd notice that.
Okay.
Case number four is already in compliance, but are you looking for some sort of a will fine?
No. What I was clarifying was it actually would have that because we were at the stage of imposition of a fine, so we've already made the findings some noncompliance, which would include the language of repeat violation.
Case number five is in compliance. Case number six, Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? All right, what say the city?
I have a sheet here, just a moment. This is here for a progress report. And hold on. Okay. I need just a moment.
I've got it down here for a progress report.
Mr. Kelch, we're going to ask if we could pass this one. There's a lot of stuff that we've been tracking, and we want to know what's happening, and I don't think we have all of that updated, and I'd like us to make some effort and see what we can do before the end of the meeting. So if we can pass this at the end of the meeting and return, we don't have anyone here, and I'm not sure what part of the reason we have such a small staff is much of the staff is out and there's people covering for others. So just so I can get some clarification, I'll do that by the end of the meeting.
So you want me to just come back to this later in the meeting?
If we can push it to the end.
Or do you want to just move it to the next meeting?
That may be a better solution. If we can just move it to the next meeting, that may be.
What I'd like is for somebody to tell me in 3 minutes or less what the status of Mayan Ocean Waters is. Yes, I mean, that's a pretty big project. So can somebody just tell me, are they like kind of on schedule, close to being on schedule, running into problems?
I believe right now the answer is that the only answer I have with clarity is that they're not finished, which we didn't expect them to be finished. So, yes, I think we do need to probably pass it to the next meeting to get that clarification, or I can have someone go and check with our building official. I don't believe that it's happened.
Do we have here whatever inspector inspects the Mayan Ocean Waters?
Our inspector is Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia, he's not here today.
Okay.
He's on a training.
Well, again, I was just curious. I wanted to keep track of it. All right, we will continue with regard to Mayan Ocean Waters LLC. I'm going to order this progress report that was scheduled for today to be continued to our July 8, 2014 meeting. Okay, new cases. Julian D. Pompey. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, sir. Can you please state your name and be sworn?
Julian Pompey. I do.
Mr. Pompey, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for Mr. Pompey to commit to compliance?
The city's position on this is that he's now in compliance. As we've indicated on the agenda, we brought this as a repeat violation. Because of the repeat violation, the city is asking for a fine of $50 and a determination that he's not in compliance.
Okay, what say Mr. Pompey?
yeah, I will say my grass was long at one point, but this is the first time that it's gotten out of control since the last time I was here. I've been vigilant about keeping my grass cut. I was in Denver for 10 days, and When the notice was posted to my door, my roommate actually contacted me while I was out there, said, we got the notice. He went ahead and cut the grass on April 27th, and it's been in compliance since then. This is the first time that I've been in violation like this since the last time I was here. I'm not maliciously letting my grass grow. It's just circumstances.
As you can see, it was 17 days from the date of notification, and it is a response to complaints.
Yeah, I'm sure there's complaints. I feel I'm being singled out by my homeowner association. They already made me get rid of my dogs.
It's life for the homeowners association. In any event, I'm going to fine Mr. Pompey the sum of $25, and I'll find that he's now in compliance. If it comes back again, because all of this is devoted to your yard right there, if it comes back again, it'll be at least $250. So this is kind of like a shot across the bow, mm-hmm. So it's only going to be a $25 fine this time.
Okay.
And you know you've got people staring at your yard all day long. That's fine. That's life. That's where you chose to live. I can't help you with that. But if it comes back again and the city has to go to this kind of effort, it's going to be a significantly higher amount. I'm giving you this one just to show you how it happens, and it will happen.
Okay.
Is that four?
Yep.
All right.
Am I able to pay that here? Where do I pay that?
I need to wait on you? Well, I can wait on you.
Yeah, you can. I'm
worried. Just asking if you need to wait on
you.
Oh. Okay. Where's 243 Wellington Drive, just out of curiosity?
Georgetown, off Bevel.
Thank you.
utility bond cashiers in place for your payment of the water bill.
This is going to be wrong.
All right, good luck to you. Case number 8, Adeyemi and Rabatu Abel.
Okay. Hello. Rabatu Abel.
Is there a way to raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm to testimony about the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do.
All right, I find the respondent not in compliance. Mr. Attorney, how long should the respondent come in compliance?
Next cut off. The
challenge the respondent's having here is I think she's taking care of the fence, but they seem to have a problem with reaccumulating rubbish and garbage. So even when it was briefly clear, it reaccumulated. So they should be able to have it done by next cutoff. You just have to maintain it.
Ms. Abel, the city attorney is telling you you ought to be able to have these things done by July. I'd
like to say that it's actually tenants we have staying there. And when it was brought to our attention, the tenant sorted out the place, got it cleaned up, and when Mr. Lopez contacted my husband a second time, he physically went there and sorted it out again. So what we'll do, we'll make sure that the tenant sort it out again before July 2nd.
Okay. I appreciate the fact that you have tenants. Unfortunately, you're responsible for your tenants because you have a property owner. Alright, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by July 2, 2014, and return to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Keep barking at those tenants.
Thank you.
And tell them if they don't take care of it that you're going to be fined, and if you're going to be fined, I'm assuming you're going to be looking for them to them to pay it.
Yes.
So try to impress upon them they need to keep the property clean.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you.
Okay.
Number 9, Cynthia Walkman.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
Cynthia Walkman.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is that you're the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Ms. Walkman, do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
That is correct.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Attorney, how much time should it take for Ms. Walkman to come into compliance?
She should be able to come into compliance by next cutoff. Her permit has been under review since 5/22, so she's working on it, and we believe she can get it done.
Okay. So you think she should be done by July 2, 2014, and you're telling me there's a permit that's been applied for since May?
Since May 22nd.
Has it been issued?
The last information I have is that it was under review.
It is approved June 3rd.
Okay.
And I do have the permit number.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Walkman. And with that, the city attorney seems to think you ought to be able to come into compliance by July 2, 2014. What say you to that?
I disagree because I have spoken with my contractor who... I was handling all of these repairs myself. I do live out of state. I lost the help that I was getting. Therefore, it turned into this, so I turned it over to a contractor, a professional, to handle it. So this is where I'm at with that, and he has told me that it's going to take, I would probably say, closer to 2 months to finish this. He's doing a lot of work on it. All the windows are getting repaired. Stucco's being redone, and the stucco isn't going to be able to be painted until it sets. So,
all right.
The front right corner is what I repaired. So there's been repairs done on it. It has a new roof. I repaired that. garage roof was repaired. Those were what the permits were previously. So work has been...
Where is the stucco, just out of curiosity?
It's all that lighter greenish, right. That's what I repaired. But he's going to stucco all of that. It's going to go back to what it was.
What I'm looking at is going to be stucco?
Nope, that's coming down. And I believe that might be down now. I drove past this morning, and he was there with a dumpster. So I think that might be down now.
All right. In any event, your contractor says 60 days.
Yes. I have been keeping the code office abreast of everything. I have the emails that I've gone back and forth just to let them know of where everything has been going. So.
All right. Well, 60 days puts you past our August cutoff, so I'm going to go ahead and give you additional time. I'll give you September 3, 2014.
Okay. It'll be done. The violations are there. I might start more projects on my own, but the violations will be taken care of.
All right. I'm going to allow the respondent until September 3, 2014 to come into compliance.
Yes. I'm sorry. If we could ask for the inspector's request, if we could ask for a progress report if we're going to go that long.
I will keep you posted, as I have.
Perhaps a non-attend progress report even for next month, just so that we know that she's moving forward and everything's happening as she plans.
Did you just say you live out of state?
I do.
Where do you live?
New York, Rochester, New York. Actually, Churchville.
And you're relying on your contractor to get it done?
I am, and my brother who lives in the Villages, who said he would stop out and check on how things are going.
Okay, well, the city wants to keep an eye on you to make sure you're actually getting all this done.
Right.
It should be kind of, I assume a progress report would be difficult since you live in Rochester, New York.
Well, Ms. McKelja, with her having a local contractor, just even a report to the inspector that we could be able to bring to you for consideration and acknowledgement of that project's going forward as planned.
Here's what we'll do. We're going to put this on our August 12, 2014 docket for a progress report.
Okay.
And I will consider the respondent's participation sufficient if she or her contractor be sure to get in touch with the inspector to let him know exactly what the status of the work is and presumably that they anticipate being done on September 3rd. And, of course, the inspector, I assume, can go out there any time to inspect whatever he wants. All right, so we'll put this down for a progress report on August 12, 2014. And if I didn't say it already, compliance by September 3, 2014 will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 10, Michael J. Forrest, TRS, and Michael's Beachwear, LLC, DBA, Michael on the Beach.
Michael Forrest.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is truthful, truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
My first notice was to appear today. I did not know about this. My tenant obviously got a notice, but I did not.
Who's your tenant?
Michael Hanna. H-A-N-N-A, and I don't see him here today.
Is Michael Hanna the owner of Michael's Beachwear?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Then what say the city with regard to the prohibited activities and uses that are taking place?
Mr. Kelter, this is outside activity that's what we normally require a TPA. There's no TPA. They're currently in compliance. You'll see we have a couple of on the agenda. That's something that our guys went out and discovered was a problem. So we're just asking for the finding of non-compliance, and now I'm finding them in compliance because of the nature of the violation. So for any future violations, we will be able to more rapidly make sure that they're responsive. As we said, the tenant himself was notified and ultimately responded and put the stuff back in.
What is the violation? The rack of clothes that I'm seeing out in front of the building?
Yes.
The sign that extends out beyond the edge of the building?
I'm being told yes on both from the inspector.
Okay. All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. And based on the report of the city attorney, I also now find that the respondent is in compliance. Am I doing will find language here? Or is that for you to attend to another day?
The language is the standard language of our order, which was just an understanding about, as a matter of the statute, that any repeat violations are subject to a fine without, obviously with the hearing, but without the necessity of subsequent order from you.
All right, so I don't need to specify it.
No.
All right, Mr. Forrest, you understand what's going on here right now?
Yes. May I say that I would have appreciated had I been notified so that I could put additional pressure on the tenant rather than, I realize $1,000 a day is should be sufficient, but as landlord, trustee for the property, I could have added some, I could have told him you either comply or else. So I was not notified, and I assume that these are sent out by registered mail.
If I can say, just the point well taken, I think that the challenge we have with these types of transient type of violations is that until we run into them, it's a special advantage for one business over another. And once we run into it, then that's when they're remedied. So what the effort is really an effort to try and impress upon a tenant not to let it happen. And if they're fined, then hopefully you'll deal with them according to if you're fined as a result of them allowing it to occur.
I'm trying to avoid that.
Yes. All right, well, in any event, apparently he was allowing merchandise to be outside the front of the premises without the necessary permit. So please impress upon him not to do it again, because if it happens again, the stage has been set for you to be subjected to a will fine, which means an automatic fine if it happens again. So impress upon him that he needs to not let that happen.
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 11, Irene Kyprios Katouzis and Stanley T. Kyprios. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Ms. McCalvin, as I said, we had,
as I've indicated, we've had we had a couple, and this would be another similar to the last meeting. This is at 7 Boardwalk. The inspector is Danny Garcia, and again, same situation, outside activity as a not permitted use would only be permitted with a special use or a TPA permit, temporary permit. In this situation, this is one where there has been a prior finding, and so this is before you as a repeat violation. The staff is requesting that a fine be imposed of $75 per day, that there be a finding of noncompliance. The property is now in compliance, but not per day, but a fixed set fine of $75 be imposed. The property is now in compliance.
Okay. All right. Noting that the respondent has not attended, based on the report of the city attorney, I find the respondent in noncompliance. And now also make the determination that the respondent is currently in compliance, but this was a repeat violation. And for the repeat violation, the respondent will be fined the sum of $75. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. All right. Case number 12 has been withdrawn. Case number 13, Richard W. and Lilia O. Morgan. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
This property is 619 Aberdeen Street. The inspector is John Stinson. This is a tenant complaint. The owner is working on it. The inspector requests that you find them in noncompliance and give them until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay. Moving that the respondent is not present, based upon the report of the city attorney, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by July 2, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 14, Charles W. Mecklen, Revocable Trust.
Morning, Mr. Kelton.
Morning, Chuck. How are you doing?
Good.
Would you please state your name and be sworn?
Charles W. Mecklen.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do.
Find the respondent noncompliance. Mr. Attorney, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Staff is requesting next cutoff. This is the neighbor's complaints, and it's a reoccurring situation.
Meaning what?
You're forewarning
them there might be will fines in the future?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You understand what's going on?
Yes. One comment that I do have is I've got four adults, mother and father and two grown children, that live there, and each have their own vehicle. One, obviously, a work truck. I've got one single-car garage with a single-car driveway. Where are they supposed to park? You know, there's, you know, and my question to you guys is, how do I solve this? There's four vehicles, four adults, and a one-car driveway. I mean, I'll work with you any way I can.
They all have sentence passes. They're all related, right?
Yes, they all.
Okay.
Yeah, mother, father, and two grown children.
This particular property sits on the corner of Gardenia and Brentwood. The parking issue is that he's parking, I'm sorry, not Gardenia, but Palm.
Palm.
The parking problem is that he's parking on unimproved surface on the Palm Street side. He's parking on unimproved surface on the Brentwood side. And nobody is actually parking in the driveway in front of the gate that has been provided. So to the east of the house is a big old driveway, double gate, nobody's parking there. But everybody's parking on the yard on both sides of the corners to include commercial vehicles and outside stores of junk and debris.
So there's more parking than what I'm looking at right there?
That is the front. That's on the Brentwood side right there.
If you see the stockade fence on the left side of the house,
yep.
It's just grass that has been driven on many, many times and parked on many, many times. It's not specifically parking. It's just yard, just like the rest of the property. But I do remember Mr. Stinson talking to the tenants and telling them that they could park there. Not real sure what the difference between that area is and all the rest of the area. It's still grass. Nothing's been, you know, no fill has been put in, no concrete pad, nothing is there. It's grass and yard just like the rest of the property. I'm not sure what the difference is.
All right. Well, I'll let you and the city wrestle over that in the meantime. find the respondent in non-compliance, order the respondent to come into compliance by July 2, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Sounds like you and the city and the tenant just need to come to some sort of resolution here as far as where you're allowed. Sounds like they're allowed to park these cars there. That's the good news. And whether one patch of grass is more important than another, I can't tell you. But I'll let you guys figure that out. Okay, good luck to you.
All right. Thank you.
Case number 15, Elmer L. and Sarah A. Flannery. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning, everybody.
Morning. Gentlemen, if you would please state your names and be sworn.
Elmer Flannery.
Sir?
Your name here.
Mommy?
Yes.
Rod Flemmer.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Elmer Flannery, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent not compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for Mr. Flannery to come into compliance?
The inspector indicates that they should be in compliance by next cutoff. This is complaint driven.
Okay. All right, Mr. Flannery, the city attorney says you ought to be able to take care of the outside storage and the parking in the yard by the next cutoff. The next cutoff, for your information, is July 2, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So can you bring it into compliance by then?
Well, my argument today is, my shed is in the backyard. I have a tarp over it because it has a couple holes in the roof. And on my paperwork states that I have a junk vehicle sitting in my yard. I'd like to know what they mean by junk vehicles. My vehicles are tagged insured, and my vehicle had
storage.
Okay, what do you mean by
parking in the yard?
Parking in the yard. I back my trailer up there when it gets late at night sometimes, and the vehicle has a flat tire. Okay, my vehicle has since had the tire repaired. My trailer is no longer there, and I'm not going to remove my tarp on my shed until I fix that. It has a couple little pinholes in it.
You're getting way ahead of yourself here.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
What's the outside storage we're talking about?
Hold that picture right there.
Mm-hmm.
You, okay. The previous picture showed
materials.
All of the materials, to include the big blue barrel. The right, cinch portion.
That looks like the outside storage you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, that's gone.
All right, there we go. We took care of
okay.
that. Parking in the yard, what are we talking about?
Parking.
That trailer he's talking about?
There's actually two trailers over there.
Okay, can't keep your trailers in the yard.
Okay, my one trailer is in the backyard. I usually put it in the backyard unless it gets late in the day or we had a hard day at work. You know, it usually goes in the backyard behind the 6-foot wooden fence so nobody can see it.
I assume that's permitted. Mm-hmm.
Question, I'm sorry.
He parks the trailer in the backyard behind a 6-foot wooden fence.
But I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
The junk.
We're on the same page, as long as you don't have any outside storage, and we keep the trailer put away.
Let's not forget about the junk vehicles.
Okay, yeah, that's what y'all, that's another thing. Junk vehicles. I'd like for you to explain, what do you call a junk vehicle?
Actually, the definition of a junk vehicle, two things.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be operable and needs to have a valid tag.
Okay, they both do.
You're saying they both do now?
They always have.
Okay.
If you take it back to the...
The white pickup truck and the Jeep Cherokee, both have flat tires.
No. Neither one of the vehicles at this point have a flat tire.
So you're saying since the last inspection, the tires
have
been
insurance on.
Yes. Repaired, replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready for a reinspection?
Oh, yeah. I just talked to you the other day on the phone.
Okay. He's saying he's repaired the junk vehicles, so I will have to reinspect.
Cool. We all get on the same page. We're all happy. We don't need to get
what I get upset about is if a vehicle has a flat tire, you should not call it a junk vehicle. It's got tags and insurance sitting in my yard, in my driveway.
Well, depends on how long it's been sitting.
Yeah. The blue barrel that he mentioned, that's my car wash, so I have nowhere to put that. I mean, that's heavy. It's not like I can just pick that up and move it. It's a 55-gallon drum that sits in front of my vehicle.
All right. Anyway, let's get back to business here. Then I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by July 2, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Sounds like all these things are manageable. We just need to get them taken care of and be done with it.
All right. I mean, everything's completed now. I mean, he can come by. But I mean, the only thing is my shed in the back. I put a tarp over the top of it.
You keep mentioning the shed. I don't know why you want to talk about the shed. Shed's not on here. If you want to talk about the shed, shed's going to get on here, and then we're going to have a whole case about the shed.
Well, he's,
so don't
he's,
be bringing up the shed.
I mean, you're showing pictures of it. I mean, that's what he explained to me the other day when I talked to him on the phone.
Okay. This says outside storage and parking in the yard. I have nothing here about a shed.
Thank you, sir.
We're looking at number 14.
Thank you.
Hang on a second. I'm being corrected.
And if they need the permits for the junk, for the fence, they figure it out.
I'm sorry?
Permits for the fence.
Accessory structure shed. Sure enough. Thank you, Madam Secretary. All right, what's the story on the shed?
The property owner just advised that he has a couple of holes in there. I would suggest we repair the holes and remove the tarp.
We'll remove the tarp.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Miscellaneous business. Gary F. Zabrowski, Estate of U.S. Bank, N.A. Anyone here for the respondent?
No. This was a staff generated.
Okay, what does the staff
want to
know?
Ms. McKelvey, you had asked this question at the last meeting, and I leaned in one direction, and it appeared to ultimately be the wrong direction as I gave more thought to the situation. This is the case where we had a foreclosure, and that was brought by the bank, U.S. Bank, which was ultimately dismissed, and their interest that brought them here on a code violation was related to our vacant property circumstances, where that's really based upon someone who has a continuing interest in a property because they've initiated a foreclosure and they have a list pendants and so forth. In this situation, once the foreclosure was dismissed, U.S. Bank has no interest that's really maintained or any means or authority to go and alter or correct any violations. And so it probably, and we feel it would have been a more appropriate solution to dismiss as to U.S. Bank and proceed as to Mr. Zabrowski's estate, which is the who is the owner of the property. And so we believe that maintaining the action against U.S. Bank was an error, and so we're just asking for that to force to dismiss or you to dismiss us to U.S. Bank. Was that with prejudice? Do we remember?
The last order was an imposition of a fine.
No, I'm talking about the court.
No,
the court's dismissal.
You're asking if the court order was dismissed with prejudice.
Yes. Which is what they were doing with those foreclosures.
Is it stapled to your cover
sheet? Okay. I really want to argue with you. Is this property basically been abandoned by the owner?
I've never had any contact with the actual property owner. When my case began, it was already vacant, placarded with the vacant registry.
Well, the only thing you said that causes me any question is when you say the mortgagee, being U.S. Bank, has no interest in the property. And the other thing, because I don't know that that's the case, and I also don't know that under the terms of a standard mortgage, the mortgagee wouldn't have the authority to go in and make repairs and then back charge the property. So I just point that out. Yeah. I'll do whatever you want.
That's our general position, Mr. Vokalja. I think what's different, and Ms. Hampton's looking, I'm kind of thinking the dismissal was with prejudice, but I'm not sure. But in this situation, the dismissal, and I don't know how you dismiss a foreclosure with prejudice, but that's been the effect of these foreclosure dismissals. But what has been happening in these more recent climate with the mortgages, those that have been dismissed have been completely windfall for the property owner.
It's a dismissal per Rule 1.260.
Which had something to do with their inability to bring it because of some
Zabrowski's death.
Yeah.
All right, in any event, all right, so what's the relief you're looking for right now?
Just
action to be taken. Remove U.S. Bank N.A. as respondent. That's foreclosure case has been dismissed.
Right. So we're just dismissing as to U.S. Bank, which would remain, the case remains as to Zabrowski Estate, but dismissed as to U.S. Bank.
So specifically as to the order imposing fine slash lien that I'm looking at that includes U.S. Bank N.A. as trustee, as what appears to be a co-respondent, you're asking me to dismiss U.S. Bank and vacate that order as to U.S. Bank.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Based on the city attorney's assessment and presentation, then I am dismissing this matter as to U.S. Bank and vacating that portion of the order imposing fine slash lien directed to U.S. Bank. The intent being that the order imposing fine slash lien shall remain in full force and effect as to the original respondent, Gary F. Zabrowski Estate.
Yes, that's our intent. Thank you.
All right. Do you have any other business to be brought before the special magistrate?
I know of none.
Nothing. Okay. Like the next round starts around 10:30, I assume? Okay. And we're adjourned.